Now joining us from Townsville, from the Nine Network, Denny Widler. Morning to you, mate.
Morning, gents.
Oh, great to see your mug on Sky Racing 2 as well. Take us through the atmosphere and the build-up there in North Queensland.
Well, it's pretty quiet. I heard Adam Pengelly before, and so far you'd know that there's an origin on because there are some people talking about it, but actually, Townsville's pretty quiet. I actually went for a bit of a morning walk this morning. Laurie, I was looking for the mad cow. I couldn't find it, so I might have to get some tips from you later on to find, because I reckon you'd know how to walk it in your sleep.
I'll tell you what, Danny, spent plenty of time at the Mad Cow. When we used to always travel to Townsville, I think I told this story the other day on radio. This is in particular the early days. You'd rock up to the airport in Townsville and they would have promoters from all the clubs at the airport and they were there greeting you with drink cards. And everyone just kept canning your drink cards. And Tim Sheens used to say, boys, you can forget about that if you don't win. And our record up there was unbelievable.
hey, Laurie,
we didn't lose too many, Denny, up there.
Mate, when I got off the plane, Laurie, they were saying, I hope Laurie Daly's not coming up here again. We haven't recovered from last time he was here, so.
Run out of beer.
You've got a reputation.
Oh, it does precede me. Tell us about this gentleman's agreement. I said to Adam Pengelly, a gentleman's agreement in origin? How does that work?
It's a G-up, isn't it? Laurie, I can't believe that before an origin, we used to talk about, Paul Gallen used to talk about how the Queenslanders had two heads and, you know, how he hated Queensland and how he'd rev it up. And now we've got Daly Cherry Evans, with all due respect, talking about a gentleman's agreement. Please, this is supposed to be state of origin. I feel like I'm a dinosaur because I can't believe the sort of chat that's going on around origin. It's been very submissive and very friendly. And I don't know if I'm loving this the way the game's going at the moment. I don't want to see blokes have their heads knocked off, but I want to feel the passion and the which is what Origin's all about. It's supposed to be a little bit different from club football, but now we're hearing the NRL is going to referee it just like in club football, and we're going to see blokes, you know, potentially diving or not diving. I mean, is that the sort of talk we want before an origin? I want to hear about how, you know, we lost to the so-called, you know, worst team in, you know, origin history last time. And what does that make New South Wales? Well, it makes us even worse than them. So, I mean, I want to hear that sort of talk rather than, you know, gentlemen's agreements. And to me, if you're wondering why there's not maybe the same vibe or the same build, it's because of that sort of the way the game's going at the moment. And I get it. We have to worry about head knocks and concussion's a massive issue. And I'm not being flippant. But when it comes to origin, I don't want to hear teams talking about gentlemen's agreements. I want to hear how they want to win for their state. I want to hear how passionate they are about playing for New South Wales. And I want to see that, obviously, on tomorrow night.
Denny, you spoke a lot about New South Wales not getting this first game, and you're very strong on your views on that. How much of an advantage do you see this being for Queensland, that game one is up there in Townsville?
Massive. We'll see it tomorrow night. You know, here they've got, you know, suddenly the water has turned maroon, the fountains up here. You know, people are going to start really flying, you know, I think, and building up the atmosphere. And when New South Wales run out tomorrow night, anyone who's talking about this neutral venue rubbish, I mean, they're going to have a huge advantage playing here. I know that a lot of New South Wales people and former greats are trying to say that, yes, the field will suit New South Wales, the playing surface is great. But they shouldn't. I think Freddie said at the airport yesterday that not since 1982 have Queensland had the first two games in a series. And to me, I still can't see how it's fair. I'll be labelled a whinger, I don't know, but I think it's really tough for this New South Wales team, and they lost last year's series against a Queensland team that they should have probably beaten. So they've got it all in front of them, and I do think it's a huge advantage because, you know, we all know that Origin's all about Queensland and them getting the breaks.
Yeah, and they will be difficult to beat.
Come
up
on,
there,
Laurie.
No doubt about it. Sorry, mate.
Come on, Laurie, you've got to agree. You've got to agree. It's a huge advantage.
Well, I, Danny, I do. I think it'll be tough, and I think it'll be a big advantage for Queensland to have those first two games up there. New South Wales, I hope this gentleman's agreement thing doesn't happen. I hope we go out there and we rip straight in and test the waters of the referee.
But you don't want to see players lying down to get a penalty, do you, Loz?
No, well, you don't. But, again, I think that Origin is all about that passion and that just going out there and ripping in right from the start and seeing what the standard the referee is going to allow or accept and... whatever happens after that happens. But I'm one for just that rivalry of hatred, going out there and showing that you want to win, having that passion, blowing off a bit of steam early, sorting each other out. And, you know, then the football happens after about 20, 30 minutes. But I don't want to see this gentleman's agreement thing. What I want to see is just two teams going at it.
Might really. Be 11 on 11.
Well, if it's 11 on 11, so it's 11 on 11.
And Laurie...
If you know what I mean.
One of my favourite things about Origin, Laurie, was when you used to play, you were always a very respectful player, but when you went out there for New South Wales, your crazy eyes came out. Those eyes were bulging out of your head and you were wanting to rip in. And I don't know, how would you handle the current situation? If you were a coach, would you be saying, boys, just this is Origin... we've got to really assert our dominance and assert our authority.
Well, I've heard it too many times, Danny, and I've approached referees when I was coaching about how they were going to referee, and I was told they were refereeing a certain way, an NRL level, and you get out there, and it's totally different. So, for me personally, I'd be saying to my boys, it's state of origin. Don't worry about this NRL stuff. It is state of origin. We need to go hard at them early. And if we give away some penalties early, but it's through effort and it's through that passion and desire. You can't let that overcome you. You can't just play on passion alone. But I'll tell you what, I'd be testing the waters. I wouldn't be going out there and just dipping my toe in. It's just head first in.
Now, why is Nathan Cleary the Blues version of Cooper Cronk, Denny?
Well, he's the more you hear about Nathan Cleary, the more you realise he's this perfectionist who... does so much work, so much study outside of football. I spoke to him and he said he's basically a football nerd. He watches every game. He takes notes. He's observing everything that goes on. He's probably a coach in the making, isn't he? And like his old man. And he's studying hard. And like Freddie's quite impressed or quite amazed at the level and depth of knowledge that he has. And as his halfback, he's going to go out there and New South Wales won't lose because Nathan Cleary doesn't carry out the game plan. He will be very thorough in all that area, and he's an absolute on-field general, and he's not just an organizer anymore. He's a dangerous attacking player as well, and his kicking game is as precise as it gets. It's a fantastic asset for New South Wales. On the other hand, Daly Cherry Evans, I think he's got the best almost momentum kicking game. He can change the way a game's going, and when a team's on the up, his kicking game's unbelievable. So it's going to be fantastic to watch the halfbacks go at it.
Denny, take me back to Clubland, the Dragons. I think we've had a lot of feedback around Matt Dufty being let go from the Dragons. Why, or do you know why they're decided to let him go?
Well, I've been making a lot of calls about it, and the best reason I can get it, this is not my opinion, it's what I'm being told, is that Matt Dufty doesn't necessarily take criticism well from a coach. I think if that's the reason he's being let go or not wanted by the Dragons, I'd be persisting with him if I was the Dragons. I'd be trying to get the best out of him. I'd be sitting him down and helping him work through that. And that may even be a slightly old criticism of him, that maybe he has been working on that as well. So I find it really quite fascinating that they've let their... what I think is their best attacking weapon go. And he'll end up, Canberra are genuinely interested. They see him as quite possibly their fullback for next year. And they're very interested in signing him. And the club will confirm that at any time, you'd imagine. And then you've also got the likes of a Brisbane or a Bulldogs. They're the three clubs. But I think at the moment, Canberra are happy to say that they're very interested in and very keen to try and get Matt Dufty.
Happy with that loss?
Yeah. I think he's a very good player, Matt Dufty, and if I didn't have a fullback, I would chase him. But I think Jahn's Nickel Klustad is a very good player, so I'd be interested to see how that sort of dynamic works. But I'm like you, Denny. While he mightn't receive criticism well, Matt Dufty, I'd still be persevering with him because I think he is their best attacking player, the Dragons. I don't know who they've got in mind to play fullback, but the way that the game is played these days with a fast guy that's got good skills, I think he's just perfect in the modern game, Matt Dufty.
Yeah, I think you're right, Laurie. And in terms of Canberra, I think Charles Nicol-Clockstar might end up in the centres. He's viewed as a very good player by Canberra, but his speed isn't the same as a lot of other fullbacks. So they see him as a very strong centre. So that could happen, and that's how you could see Dufty, if he does go to Canberra, end up at fullback there.
All right, well, talking about Raiders and centres, Curtis Scott found himself in a bit of drama over the weekend. The Raiders have stood him down. Can you see him being a Raider into the future, Curtis Scott?
Look, all the talk has been no. I want to hear what Curtis Scott has got to say before I completely close the book on him. From all indications that I've had, Curtis Scott has had issues, has had ongoing issues, actually, and they've translated into this most recent incident. And we also saw he was out on the town recently. He ended up having the victory over the police in that matter. But the fact that this keeps on recurring, he also had some issues when he was down in Melbourne as well. So I do want to, before I, you know, shut the book on him and say he definitely won't be there, I'd like to hear what he's saying. I'd like to hear his version of events. I'd like to hear how that incident came up to being and what led to it. But in no way am I defending Curtis Scott, because I think he has got some issues that he really needs to deal with. And I think the feeling from within Canberra is that perhaps, you know, it's time for him to move on. But I still do want to hear, I want to know what led up to that incident. And I think the NRL Integrity Unit are going to be down in Canberra today interviewing him.
Denny, just back to the Dragons for a sec. Tell us about your column you wrote in the Sun Herald about, the Dragons sponsor Norm Black saying that the NRL should pay Jack DeBellin's wages. Tell us about that.
Yeah, look, so Norm Black is a big sponsor in the NRL. He's the boss of Tripadeal, and they're the back of jersey sponsor for the Dragons, and also he sponsors Manly as well. And he's seen what has gone on with the no-fault stand-down rule, and he thinks it's wrong. He says that clubs, if they do suffer in the way that the Dragons did with Jack DeBellin, well, the NRL should pay the players' wages while they're out. So that's his argument. He also thinks that the players' salary should not be in the salary cap. So because the club is being penalised by losing a player, paying wages and a cap penalty as well. So he'd like to see changes there. And he's got a right to say these things because he's got plenty of skin in the game. He puts $1 million plus into rugby league, and he doesn't like what the NRL's doing. And I think this could lead to some further some further rumblings from St. George. They may look at the situation, and who knows? They may even consider their legal options in that area. I'm not saying they will, but it might be something they will consider.
What's the latest with Gus, Denny? Because I read in your column that he was approached by the Bulldogs.
Yeah, it's a story that Buzz had a couple of weeks ago now, where Gus definitely did get approached by the Bulldogs. It happened a couple of weeks ago, but he said no. And that was a great coup for the Warriors. I heard you had the Warriors boss on and, you know, how happy he was to have Gus at the club. See, the problem for the Bulldogs was that when Trent Barrett originally signed with the Dogs, or was going to sign with the Dogs, I think Gus would have been willing to listen to the Bulldogs then. And I think that if there was a package deal put in place where it was Trent Barrett and Phil Gould to be the boss of football or whatever title you want to give him, head honcho, whatever. I think they would have had a good chance of getting him then, and I think they blew it. They should have jumped at that opportunity in that time, because there were people aware at that time that he would have probably gone over and helped Barrett out. Now it's going to be much like what he's already said no, and if the Bulldogs keep coming back, which they may well do, it's going to cost them a lot of money. It may be much harder to get him away from the Warriors because he really likes his job at the Warriors. He sees a future there, and he likes the people that he works with. So I think it's going to be hard for the Bulldogs to get out. The lesson there is they should have acted earlier.
For those watching on Sky Racing 2 this morning, Azza is texting, looks like Townsville Council spent all their money on the new stadium by the looks of where Denny is standing. Looks like you've just run up the street somewhere into a bush. What's going on? I thought it was picturesque there in Townsville.
I was having a bit of a walk, and there's a big mountain here I wanted to have a look at and try and walk up, but I haven't found the way up yet. So I know it's up a hill, but I have to find the path. So you stopped me. I was looking for the mad cow. I couldn't find that, so I'm not having a lot of luck this morning.
What's your prediction for tomorrow night, Denny?
I hope we're not... My number one thing is I hope we're not talking about referees and head highs and crackdowns and all that sort of stuff. That's my main hope. And I don't want sin bins, but, you know, I'm not holding my breath. But my prediction is I'll have to support the Blues and say Blues by 7.
Good on you. That'll do us. Mate, enjoy, and we'll chat next week.
See you guys.